إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. دروشے پڑھ Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, in our last session of Darsi Hadith just before the month of Ramadan, I touched on explaining how Banu Israel, the children of Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam, the different Jewish tribes, how they had settled in the different regions of the Middle East, Arz-e Quds. If you recall, during the time of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, when at a very young age the travelers took him to Egypt and sold him in the slave market, later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him glory, power, fame. He became the financial minister of Egypt. He declared to his brother his real identity, the brothers. It was at that time all of Banu Israel, for the very first time, left Arz-e Quds, and all of them, all of the Jewish communities, migrated to Misr, where Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was. They stayed there for many, many years, in fact for many generations. It was only during the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was salam, when he was given the mission to invite Fir'aun towards Tawheed with Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu was salam. When Fir'aun rejected Tawheed, Allah gave him the command that he must leave with Banu Israel from Egypt. As he was about to leave Egypt, Fir'aun with his entire army followed Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam and Banu Israel. Eventually, the entire army was defeated, all of them were drowned, Fir'aun was also killed, he was also drowned. Now for the very first time, Banu Israel come out of Egypt and enter into Arz-e Quds, the Middle East. All the brothers scattered into the different regions of the Middle East. When we study history critically and do a research on how the Jewish people were, it seems that these were people who never ever settled in any one area. They were continuously on the move, continuously on the move. Especially after the birth of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu was salam and his ascension, we see that all of a sudden this great exodus of the Jewish tribes crossing the desert and settling in the area close to Makkatul Mukarramah, and many of them had even settled in the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwarah. At that time the city was known as Yathrib. Now it's a fair question, why would people want to leave the place where all the Jewish prophets were born, their resting place. Even Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's wasiyat was to be buried in Arz-e Quds, and Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam carried the auspicious body of Yusuf alayhi salam out from Egypt. Why would they want to cross the desert and settle in area close to Makkatul Mukarramah or Yathrib, Taba or Tayyiba at that time? The answer is very, very simple. After the ascension of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, 300-400 years after, there was this great excitement within all the different communities, not just the Jewish community, Christian community, even the Arabs, anyone who was literate, anyone who had studied the scriptures. It was all about this one Nabi who is to come, who will be Khatamun Nabiyyin, the last prophet. He will be the seal of all the prophets. Everyone was excited. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, rather Hazrat Ka'ab ibn Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala an, who was a great Jewish scholar later on who embraced Islam. He is the narrator, and he says that it was written in Torah, the scriptures, that before the demise of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Musa alayhi salam of the precise date of birth of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of the signs that will take place before the birth of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam who informed those that were very, very close to him from amongst the muwahideen, those who were very strong in Tawheed, who did not do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He informed them. He gave them signs that these are the signs. And close to this time, one Nabi will be born whose name will be Ahmad Muhammad. And according to Hazrat Ka'b ibn Ahbar, who was born in a family of all great scholars, fathers were scholars, he himself was a great scholar of the Torah. And he says it is for this reason that the Jewish community were literate people, very independent people, and they were waiting for that last Nabi. The entire line of all the prophets was connected to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. All of them, Banu Israel, they were thinking that the last Nabi will also be from amongst them. So with a lot of arrogance, that is why when you study the history of Madinatul Munawwara, respected brothers, you will find that well before the birth of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so many Jews had settled in Madinatul Munawwara that some of the Muslim historians have said that when you look at the setup of Madinatul Munawwara, it was 50% Arabs and 50% the Jewish community. Ab andaza kare 50% Ahle Yahud ka Madina Munawwara mein aajana. Why? Why 50%? And the elite tribe, Banu Qaynuqa, these were gold merchants, very strong. Although 50% population wise, but when it came to financial power, these people were people of power. They dominated everything there. All the market was in their control. So you had Banu Qaynuqa who controlled gold markets, Suq al-Zahab. All the date farms were again by Banu Nazir. Banu Nazir were again another Jewish tribe looking after all the lands there. All the farm, khajur, dates, date farms, everything was in their control. And Ka'b ibn Ashraf, who was a Yahudi, the enemy of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was also from Banu Nazir. And then you had another class of the Jewish people was Banu Qurayza. They were merchants of leather shoes. Shoes ko bechte the. Is tarike se kitabon mein aata hai. So everything was in the control of the Jews at that time, 50%, and money was in their control. All had settled in Madinatul Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's actual coming was informed by Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam to these people, and therefore they had settled in that region. That is why, according to what we find in Muslim history books, there was a man whose name was Tubba, the king of Yemen. Tubba, king of Yemen. His habit was only to travel with scholars. Ulama ke saath hi safar karte. Once crossing Yemen, he came close to Madinatul Munawwara. 400 scholars were there, not all Jews. These were people who were well versed in the scriptures, all scholars. When they looked at the setting of Madinatul Munawwara, how green it was, the date trees, and a lot of water, how Madinatul Munawwara was, beautiful city, they said to Tubba that we no longer wish to travel with you, we want to settle here. He said, why do you want to settle here? You are traveling with me on a journey. And all of them said, 400 scholars, Mufti Idris Kandelvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has also mentioned this in his seerah. All of them settled there. He said that we are scholars of the scriptures. We have all the information of Darul Hijra, the city in which the last prophet will migrate to. And that city, the way it is described in the scriptures, it fits this beautiful city, Madinatul Munawwara, like how a glove would fit perfectly in one hand. And so they said that this is the city, we have no doubt. This is Darul Hijra, the city of migration for the last prophet. So we will settle here. He was a pious man. What he did, he stayed in that region for many months also with them. He built for them houses. He was a rich man, a king. Houses were given to them. An entire plot was just cut out for them. These were the scholars living there. And right in the center, he built one beautiful house. And he said to one of the most senior alim that was there, that this house is a gift from Tubba to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he comes, tell him that this is hadiyah from me to him, and I will definitely come, and I will be his khadim, his servant, and I will assist him. And if he does not come in my time, your lifetime, then make sure you make this wasiyat to all your children. Scholars have mentioned that it was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans everything. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, all of the Ansar were pleading to Huzur alayhi salam, Ya Rasulullah, be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul lil alameen that he was, did not want to disappoint anyone. So he said, no, this is my camel Qaswa. Wherever Qaswa will stop, I will be the guest of that person.
MashaAllah.
It is said about Qaswa, it took its time, it did tawaf of all the houses and all the streets of Madinatul Munawwara. It went round and round and round and round until it came close to the house of Hazrat Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. And some of them were also trying to handle the reins of that camel, pushing the camel, possibly that the camel will stop here. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam would say, no, no, leave it. Da'uha, da'uha, leave it, leave it, leave it. And slowly that camel stopped at the house of Hazrat Ayyub Ansari. And Huzur alayhi salam said, wait and let us see. And the camel then fell to the ground and sat there. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at this beautiful house which belongs to Ayyub Ansari and said to him, I am the guest of this house. And Hazrat Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala and came outside and said, Ya Rasulullah, this house belongs to me. Respected brothers, scholars have mentioned this is the same house that was built by King Tubba as a gift for Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah had reserved, due to his sincerity, that house for the coming of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is said that Hazrat Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an is from the children of those scholars that had settled in Madinatul Munawwara, and his father, one of the fathers, was that great alim who had the responsibility to look after the house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is why Allama Zayla'i rahmatullah alayhi says that it is no exaggeration if one was to say that Huzur alayhi salatu was salam stayed in his own house in Madinatul Munawwara. There is no exaggeration. It was the house that was built for Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so what I am trying to put forward, my respected brothers, we will come to another subject which we have started, the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, and how he dealt with the Jewish community. But just to understand a brief account, history of the Jewish community, there were so many during the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And isn't it amazing that even before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, 99.99 all of the Ansari Arabs had already accepted Islam. Have you seen a revolution like this? Even before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam could migrate, 99.99 all of the Ansar had embraced Islam even before Huzur alayhi salam could migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. Why? Because of the bullying of the Jewish tribe, the Jewish community that were there. The Jews would warn the Arabs, the Ansar, and this blackmail would continue with them because they were the people who were controlling all the financial markets. And 50% with the Arabs, they were living in Madinatul Munawwara. They said that today your allies are the Arabs in the city of Makkah, and you come here and you fight us. But wait, very soon our Nabi will come. What would they say? Very soon our Nabi will come. And his name is mentioned in the scriptures, in the Torah. When he comes, we will sort you people out. When he comes, we will sort you people out. And they were implying who? Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the Ansar were very clever. When Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was in Madinatul Munawwara, the Arabs would frequently go and visit their relations in Makkatul Mukarramah. And so when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the people of Makkah that he was a Nabi, a lot of the Madani people came there and they started to speak with each other and they said, look, you know, the Jewish people, they are warning us that when that Nabi comes, they will sort us out. Possibly he is that Nabi who the Jews are referring to. So we should take that honor of accepting and embracing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the Jews do. And so all the Madani people in Makkatul Mukarramah went back to Madinatul Munawwara, and these were people who followed their leaders, tribal leaders. And when one would say something and accept a system, a religion, all of them would follow. And so all of them accepted Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. That is why Allahu Akbar, when we read the tariq, history of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it seems that every portion of the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was described. Full description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was recorded in Torah and Injil. And in fact, for that matter, also in Zabur. Talking about Hazrat Ka'b ibn Ahbar, a grand Jewish scholar, the one who knew all the scriptures. At that time he was not a Muslim. He himself says that once when I went to Syria, he was a great alim. When he got to Syria, all of the people came close to him, sat with him, and they said, Ka'b ibn Ahbar is here, Ka'b ibn Ahbar is here. The Roman emperor found out that Ka'b ibn Ahbar with some of the Arabs is in Syria. So he invited Ka'b ibn Ahbar to come to the palace of this Roman emperor. At that time, Syria was in the control of the Romans. Hazrat Ka'b ibn Ahbar accepted the invitation. He, along with a few Arabs from the city of Makkah, they went to the palace, met the Roman emperor. And this man, the king, said to Ka'b ibn Ahbar that you have come from Makkah. In Makkah, a man claims to be a Nabi, a prophet. Ka'b, tell me, what are your views? Being a scholar, what is your opinion? Do you accept him to be a Nabi or have you rejected? So Ka'b ibn Ahbar looked at the Arabs that were there and he said to this king that no, at this minute all of us here, we have not taken him as a Nabi, we reject him. He is not a Nabi. So the king said, are you sure? And he says, to my best knowledge, he is not a Nabi. He says, well Ka'b, I want you to follow me. And there was this very massive palace and he walked with this king, emperor, into the different rooms of the palace until they came to one massive hall and in it were cubicles, chote chote kamre the. Ka'b ibn Ahbar with this emperor, Roman emperor, he opened one door and on one side of the wall was a frame, a picture, which was covered with some cloth, a sheath. And so he says, Ka'b, come close to me. No one was there. And he removed the sheath and said that, look at this picture. Do you recognize this picture? So Ka'b ibn Ahbar looked at the picture and he said, no, I don't recognize this picture. Who is this person? The king said that this is the photo of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Photo of?
Adam
alayhi salam. This picture. The painting, what you see, is the painting of the face of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. You don't recognize him? Ka'b ibn Ahbar said, no, I don't recognize him. He says, let's come in the next room. Again, another frame. And when the cloth was removed, the king said, do you recognize this person? And Ka'b said, no. He said, this is the son of Adam, Nuh alayhi salam. And so, moving from one room to another room until all the frames were shown to Ka'b ibn Ahbar, the picture of Ibrahim alayhi salam, paintings of Ibrahim alayhi salam, paintings of Ismail alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, for that matter even Isa alayhi salatu was salam, until he said to Ka'b, now Ka'b, come with me. And he took Ka'b to this room which was very unique, full of fragrance, one special room which was locked and secure. He opened the door and he said, this is a private room, nobody comes here. These pictures are more than 1,000 years old. More than 1,000 years old. And there was this massive frame picture hanging on the wall and he removed the cloth and he said that, do you recognize this photo? And Hazrat Ka'b ibn Ahbar just looked back and he said, from all the photos shown to me, paintings shown to me, I recognize this painting. And he says, who is this person? He said, this is the person who is known in Makkah to be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who claims to be a prophet. And so the emperor said, well, my sincere wish for you is that accept this man to be the prophet of Allah and I will soon come to Makkah and embrace Islam at his hands.
MashaAllah.
I will soon come to Makkah and embrace Islam at his hands. Subhanallah, all the photos of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam were stored in Syria and which were painted by people more than 1,000 years ago. Mu'arrikheen make kalam on this incident that has occurred. Very ajeeb. Otherwise nobody would have the paintings of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, and certainly not of Hazrat Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Scholars have mentioned that from amongst all the prophets, the full description of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given in the Torah, Injil and Zabur. These people were so confident to recognize Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Abdullah bin Salam, the rabbi in Madinatul Munawwara, that Abdullah, did you ever doubt me when you saw me? He said, Ya Rasulullah, a father can doubt his child, but I never doubted you. The minute I saw you, I knew that you are the Nabi described in Torah. So every portion, every limb of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was recorded in the Torah, in the scriptures. So what people did was they had painted this imaginary picture of the prophets, how they will look like, to make it easy for their followers, that when this, a man who looks like this, not all of them were literate, not all of them were well versed in the scriptures. So to make it easy, at that time Tawheed was not strong with them, Mushrik ki tarah bhi the log, but at the same time they also believed that there will be one man who will come, who will be the prophet. So this imaginary picture was painted of all Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. And when it came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the picture was such that it matched totally and completely in its entirety to the auspicious face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. And this is what I'm trying to say, my respected brothers, that the Jews and the Christians and even the Arabs who were pagans, mushrikeen, knew well the coming of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an, who was a Parsi, a Zoroastrian, and then he became a Christian, and according to some of the riwayat, he was a Jew, then he became a Christian, and then he became a Muslim. And Allah had blessed him with a long life. Some say he was more than 700 years old. More than 700 years old. Subhanallah. That is why when Musa alayhi salatu wassalam said to Banu Israel, is there anyone to show me where Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam is resting? This man, an old man, took Musa alayhi salam to this old lady. And according to Allama Damiri rahmatullah alayhi and some of the scholars, they say that this lady was 900 years old.
Allahu Akbar.
900 years old. And she was the only one who knew where Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam was. So when Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an came to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was this language barrier. And so he spoke Farsi and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke
Arabic.
Arabic, ne? Spoke Arabic. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, how do we communicate? So he said to some of the companions, go and find someone who speaks Farsi and also speaks Arabic. Now, the Arabs, very few were learned people. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, Nahnu qawmun ummiyun. We are ummi qawm, illiterate. And so the only person who knew Farsi and Arabic was a Jewish man. And a Jewish man was brought to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, learned people. And so he stood in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah, these were the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He never discriminated anyone for their religious identity. If you want to, whatever religion you want to follow, Allah had said to him, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ. For you is your religion, for me is my religion, whatever you want to follow. And so he stood there, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that you know Arabic and you know Farsi. Do the translation of what Salman has to say. Salman has come from a distance to me. And so he started praising Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and criticizing the Jews. He started praising Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and criticizing the Jews. Now this person took offense. ہماری برادری کے آدمی کو کوئی برا بھلا کہے. Now he thought these were the Jews. He thought that I might as well twist everything in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the translation was that he made a mockery, aliyazu billah, of the maqam status of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, reviling the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and started to praise the Jewish community. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at Salman al-Farsi and looked at this Jewish man and said to him, tell him that has he traveled so many miles just to offend a Nabi of Allah? Has he traveled so many miles just to offend a Nabi of Allah? And this conversation was going on between Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Jewish man translator, Hazrat Salman al-Farsi, Jibreel Amin comes. And Jibreel Amin then informs Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and says to him exactly the translation of Hazrat Salman al-Farsi. And Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam heard everything. And now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying to that Jewish man that Salman actually said this, this and this. He was praising me and he was criticizing the Jewish community. So this Jewish man got angry and he said that if you know Persian, if you know Farsi, why are you wasting my time and telling me to do a translation here? Huzur alayhi salam said, no, until what has transpired now, I had no knowledge of Farsi, but now Allah has given me the knowledge of Farsi, Persian. I know Persian. And these are not the words of Hazrat Salman al-Farsi. Jibreel is standing close to me and he has informed me everything. Allah ne hidayat muqaddar mein likhi thi. This Jewish man stood up and he started kissing the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness that there is no God and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Allah's Nabi. That was not the end, my respected brothers. And now the Jewish man embraced Islam. Huzur alayhi salam looked at Salman al-Farsi and said to him, Salman, you don't know Arabic. You don't know Arabic. You are a Persian. And subhanallah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted up his hands and said, Ya Allah, give the knowledge of Arabic to Salman al-Farsi. Make him well-versed in the Arabic language. Allah accepted the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel was there. Jibreel said that Allah has commanded me, tell Salman al-Farsi to close his eyes and to open his mouth. And at a distance, Hazrat Jibreel blew in the direction of Salman al-Farsi. And after that, Salman al-Farsi started speaking fluent Arabic. It is said that he became a master, a foreigner. But yet, his Arabic was so fluent that he could speak Arabic in the different accent of the different Arab tribes that were living in Arabia. And this was the mu'jiza of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what I am trying to say, my respected brothers, there was this great boom before the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everyone was excited, anxious that they want to embrace the last prophet. Subhanallah. But due to arrogance and jealousy, when they found out that the last Nabi is a Qurayshi, an Arab, the son of Abdullah, the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. And that is why one famous Jewish scholar in Makkah, whose name was Yusuf, he stood up and he looked at the Qurayshi people and he said, tonight I can see, looking at the stars and the books that we have, a child has been born and he is the king of all humanity. He is the last Nabi. And another Jewish man stood up and he said, calamity has befallen on the Jewish people that the line of all the prophets has now been transferred to the Arabs. Line of all the prophets has been transferred to the Arabs. Nabuwat muntakil hogi. And it was because of their pride and arrogance that instead of embracing Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam for generation, for centuries, even before King Tubba, these people went to look for the beautiful city of Darul Hijra and settled there. But when the right time came, instead of acceptance, they rejected Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what is mentioned in the Quran, Inna Allaha yahdi man yasha. Allah gives hidayat to whom He wills. We should honor and make qadr that Allah has given us hidayat. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that death comes to us in the state of iman and that Allah is pleased with us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك مولا ہماری اس مجلس کو قبول فرما اللہ مسکین ہے غریب ہے گنہگار ہے اللہ تیری ذات عالی ہے اللہ تو سمد ہے بے نیاز ہے اللہ ہم محتاج ہے اللہ تو کسی کا محتاج نہیں ہے اللہ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صدقے میں اللہ ان گنہگاروں کی مغفرت فرما دے اللہ ہم جیسے گنہگاروں کی مغفرت فرما دے اللہ تو رحیم ہے کریم ہے اللہ ہم تو اسی صفت سے آپ کو پہچانتے ہیں اللہ کے رسول نے فرمایا انسان اللہ کے ساتھ جو گمان رکھتا ہے اللہ اس کے ساتھ وہی سلوک کرتا ہے اللہ ہم تو گمان رکھتے ہیں کہ تیری ذات رحیم ہے کریم ہے تو بخشنے والا ہے تو نے ہمیں بخش دیا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اللہ ہمارے لیے آسان کر دے ہم صراط مستقیم کے اوپر چلے اللہ جس کی جو پریشانی اس پریشانی کو دور فرما اللہ اس خصوصاً اس مجلس میں جو بیٹھے ہوئے لوگ ہیں اللہ ان کی ایک ایک حاجت کو قبول فرما یا اللہ محض تیری رضا کے لیے یہاں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں دنیا کھلی ہوئی ہے لیکن دنیا کو ترجیح نہیں دی اللہ کے رسول کو ترجیح دی حدیث کو ترجیح دی اللہ تیری رضا کو ترجیح دی اللہ ہم سب کو ترجیح دی اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین